Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3, and today the first of a new weekly segment where we speak to BBC journalists about the international stories they're watching in the week ahead. Today we're joined by senior journalist and presenter Rich Preston. Rich, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Good to be with you.
So let's start with the latest global picture on coronavirus, the news of rising numbers of cases where you are in the UK and also elsewhere in Europe.
Yes, that's right. Here in Britain, cases have been rising for 2 weeks now. In fact, in England, they've been doubling every 7 to 8 days. Within the next hour or so, we're expecting a key press briefing from the government's top advisors. And we're not expecting good news. The anticipation is that we're going to get to a point in winter where we're seeing more than 300 deaths a day from coronavirus. Now, that's after the number has kind of dropped away over the last few months, but they've been rising sharply, not just slowly, but they've been rising sharply. Now, the government's implemented various local lockdowns in places that have seen outbreaks of the virus. But unfortunately, that's not kept a lid on things. And in fact, the government advisors have suggested that only 1 in 5 people have been following the guidelines when it comes to self-isolation if they've tested positive for COVID-19. And so the government has now introduced a law in England, which means if you don't self-isolate, you can be fined £1,000, which is about $1,300, going up to £10,000 for the most kind of serious cases. So the government really trying to keep a lid on this because, as I say, there's concern that these numbers are going to keep climbing.
And the same's been happening in other European cities, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. As of today, new localised lockdown measures introduced in Spain and around the capital, Madrid. They've not gone down very well because they've primarily targeted poorer areas. And there have been protests from people saying, why is it if you live in a wealthy area, you can hang out with your friends, you can go get a coffee, you can go shopping, but if you live in a poor area, you have to lock yourself indoors. France has seen a sharp rise in cases too. Germany and Italy have seen a rise in cases, but relatively small, slow one. One interesting angle we're going to be watching in the week ahead is people suing authorities for failing to act over coronavirus. There's already a conversation in France about suing the Prime Minister. In South Korea, the government there is actually looking at suing a church in the capital, Seoul, which thought to have been at the heart of a major outbreak. And in Austria this week, we're expecting to hear whether there's going to be a class action lawsuit brought against one of the provinces, which was identified as the source of a major outbreak earlier this year. So lots to look out for on the coronavirus front in the week ahead.
On a personal note, though, Rich, how are you feeling? How are people feeling in general where you are? Must be scary, though.
It is. It's strange. I'm in London, which is obviously a very dense city, and I'm talking to you from the BBC's headquarters in central London. And
so still schlepping to work.
Well, only when I have to. Otherwise, I'm working from home, and that's
right.
The case for most people. But the street's very quiet. One of the noticeable things is there's no tourists. You know, normally, London, you'd see queues out the door of places like Madame Tussauds. You'd see a line down the street for London Zoo. There's just none of that. I was talking to a taxi driver the other day who said he's lucky if he gets 1 or 2 bookings in an entire 6-hour shift. There's, you know, London's obviously got lots of colleges and universities. International students are a big part of the London scene, and there's just no one coming. Lots of people studying remotely or just not coming at all. So it is very strange. The government has tried to kickstart the economy in various ways with things like this scheme called Eat Out to Help Out, which was a discount scheme to encourage people to go out to restaurants and to eat out again. That's now ended. But the hospitality industry, they're struggling. You know, there's predictions that we could see a double dip recession if we go into a second national lockdown. With the economy suffering by as much as 8%. Furlough schemes are coming to an end for employers. The train companies, because people haven't been commuting, they've not been buying their tickets, so train companies are struggling as well.
Of course.
It's a very delicate tightrope that the government is walking.
Tough times. Rich, you're also watching for some developments on the Brexit front this week. Talk us through it.
Yeah, now this is an interesting one because, of course, the UK officially left the European Union at the start of this year and was given 12 months to make any deals, tie up any loose ends, get our house in order. But then, of course, coronavirus hit and has been dominating the front pages ever since. So this deadline for the end of December for us to be completely out is fast approaching. The latest spanner in the works is something, it's a bill going through the UK Parliament called the Internal Markets Bill. which sounds innocuous enough, but is effectively a law to break the law. and what I mean by that is the UK agreed this withdrawal agreement with the European Union, and this internal markets bill undoes some of those agreements that the UK made with the European Union. And in fact, many British officials have acknowledged that Britain is openly, actively breaking international law by pushing this bill through. It's not gone down well with the legal community. Several top legal advisers, including some of the government's own legal advisers, have resigned. And the European Union says they're not having it. You know, one of the big parts of Brexit, one of the big arguments was that once we're out, we can negotiate a fantastic trade deal with the EU. The European Union have said, if you push through this internal markets bill, trade negotiations are off the table. We're just not going to talk about it.
Right. And also on Sunday, a vote in Switzerland on whether people there want to cut ties with the EU as well. I'll leave you to come up with a snazzy moniker for that one. Switzerland's Brexit.
Yeah, well, Swexit maybe. I mean, you may remember before Brexit, there was Grexit when there was the Greek financial crisis and there was talk of Greece leaving the EU. So we had Grexit, Brexit, now Swexit. Now, Switzerland's actually not part of the European Union, but it does have deals with the EU. And one of the deals it has is over the free movement of people. But there's a push for that to be to come to an end. You know, as we know, immigration is a very emotional topic. And there's this referendum on Sunday in Switzerland as to whether Swiss people want to end that deal with the EU over the free movement of people. Now, it's not quite as cut and dry as that. When is it ever? And that's because the deals that Switzerland has with the EU are all tied in with one another. And there's something called a guillotine clause. Ending one ends them all. Now, last year, half of Switzerland's exports went to the EU. If Swiss voters decide they want to end the free movement of people, it will also end these trade deals that Switzerland has with the EU. So a big big decision for Swiss voters on Sunday.
We're speaking with Rich Preston, who's senior journalist and presenter at the BBC. Rich, one of the big global political stories happening this week is the UN General Assembly. They are marking an important milestone, aren't they?
Yes, that's right. It's the 75th anniversary of the founding of the United Nations this year, just at the end of the Second World War, obviously. Now, for obvious reasons, this one is being held virtually. And the UN's got various issues it needs to address, arguably chief amongst them, the role of the UN itself. And I say that because we've seen over the last few years various nations, sometimes big, sometimes influential nations, pulling away from the international stage and saying, we don't want to be involved in this anymore. So, for example, we just discussed Brexit and the UK walking away from the European Union. We've seen the United States pull out of the Paris climate deal. But at the same time, there are huge issues that need a concerted effort and that affect the whole world, like climate change, like coronavirus. And indeed, this year's theme at the UN is the future we want, the UN we need. So lots of issues up for discussion.
What else might be likely to come up? Because we're talking about, for some, let's not name them, to protect the guilty. It feels like a whim from the leader of that particular country to pull out of certain organizations. So we're looking at redoing how these organizations work.
Well, potentially, yeah, and just how the UN functions, because as well as the climate deal that the US pulled out of, you may remember President Trump also said he wasn't happy with how the World Health Organization had handled coronavirus, and that he was going to pull the US out of that. Now, the World Health Organization is a UN body. Now, of course, you've got to remember there's a presidential election in America on November 3rd, so this could all be turned on its head, and we could see the US coming back into the climate deal or back into the WHO, depending on who gets voted into the White House. We'll have to wait and see. We'll also be interested in hearing what China and Russia have to say about the upcoming US presidential election, how that affects international relations. We've also got things like the Iran nuclear deal, the territorial disputes in the South China Sea. There's also recent news stories like the poisoning of the Russian opposition activist Alexei Navalny. Now, of course, the Kremlin denies any responsibility for Mr. Navalny's poisoning, but it's a big international story. UN General Assembly, the coming together of all these nations, lots to discuss. The speeches start tomorrow.
Rich, appreciate your insights and your time. Rich Preston, senior journalist and presenter at the BBC. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.